Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, we're back with the death lineup. The night after the Warriors beat the Lakers in LA, though, I don't know. I feel like that when the Lakers don't have Anthony Davis, it almost shouldn't count because he is the pain in the side of the Warriors. But did you see anything in the performance, in the team, that would make you believe that they have what it takes to close out the season 3-0 to give them a chance to move upward?
Yeah, I think they can. I think they can close it out 3-0. I mean, it's just Portland, Utah, and New Orleans.
It is Portland, the Pelicans, and you got it.
Yeah. So I mean, I think that two out of those three games are locks, but that third or the whatever game the Pelicans is. I went to the game. I was there when the Pelicans beat us by like 45 at Chase. So, I mean, we'll see with that one. But nothing gives me any hope that this team is going to. I mean, I know, like, what did we say? I think it was like two or three pods ago. You said that, are we putting too much eggs in, like, beating the Lakers basket? Like, do we think that, like, you know, is it we're overestimating how, like, good of a thing that is these days, because the Warriors and the Lakers are in like the same little area. So yeah, no, I don't think anything about that specific game. I mean, what did I've been saying? I need Steph to give me 40. I mean, why? Like, I know he was what, 7 for 9 with 23, but why is he only shooting 9 shots? Is there like, why is there a reason for him shooting a lot less? I think the only bad thing for the Warriors in this little stretch that they've been winning so much is that Klay's like outpricing himself. Mm-hmm. like I don't know how they're going to retain Klay except for the fact that he just wants to stay in the Bay Area and take his boat out in the Bay. But if, I mean, Orlando's got water, I'm assuming. So
I know crocodiles.
Yeah. It's going to be a little risk factor when he takes his boat out.
That I do wonder if that's a good thing or a bad thing though. And here's why I say that, which is, I almost feel like Joe Lacob would be more apt to maybe overspending for Klay if Klay didn't go off. Maybe Klay pricing himself out is a positive so that the Warriors don't get sucked in here and bring him back for, you know, $20 million or $25 million or whatever it would have taken.
Yeah, but I also don't know how they replace him. It's probably a good thing to not overpay Klay and bring him back, but at the same time, it's like, how do you replace him?
Well, you can't replace the shooting unless you go out and get shooting. You would have to get the shooting, and if it's not at the shooting guard, you'd have to get it elsewhere. And then what you'd have to bet on is our guy Mo Moody to step into that spot. And then we say that, and then all of a sudden it's going to be Steph and B-Pod's backcourt.
Yeah, but Moody's already out of the rotation.
But I do think that that would be like, if you were talking yourself into, and we heard this, right? Lacob thinks that they're going to get under the tax. I don't understand how that happens without CP and Clay being off the roster.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. No CP. He's not coming back. So it's really just Clay. And that's the cruddy thing about CP. Like, it's great that he's coming off the books, but it's like, yay, he's coming off the books and we have no one to replace him. Like, you're still losing him for nothing. That's like,
what if CP wants to come back on a discount? Because
I think the only reason would be is because Coach Kerr, I mean, I feel like CP could chase a ring better elsewhere. I think the only way he would be interested in returning is the relationships he's made amongst Draymond and Steph. But I think he has pointed out on Draymond's podcast, he likes like how understanding and relaxed Steve Kerr is when it comes to him flying back to LA for the weekends to see
his family. Which is funny because CP3 is not very relaxed or understanding sometimes. He's like a little bulldog on the court.
Yeah.
It makes him so good. You know, there's one thing about this season, and I think we said this last year too. They are putting it together a little too late. And if they had done this earlier in the season, you know, if Draymond didn't ruin a lot of their season, and that's basically who I point the finger at, is it's really Draymond. And let's say they are in the 4-5 slot instead of fighting for the, you know, they're in the 10th, but trying to get up to 9 or 8. If they're in the 4-5 slot, you know, there is a realistic viewpoint for them to get to the second round, right? Because, you know, it's going to be damn near impossible. Even if they make it, let's say that they get past the play-in and you're sitting at 8, well, it's Minnesota or Denver.
And well, I mean, I did look at the standings today. Is it really only those two? Because OKC is a half a game back.
Yeah, I don't know what the tiebreakers are like, but they're acting like tonight's game between
Timberwolves
and Denver is like the most meaningful game at the end of the regular season. But if it's Thunder, then I'm actually fine with it.
Yeah,
that's like your best case scenario. Now, I know a lot of people, oh, you know, they don't, they have too much athleticism but at the same time, the Warriors played them really well during the regular season. So, let's say you lost
3-1, but yeah,
two buzzer beaters, right?
Two buzzer beaters.
But let's say you're in where the Clippers or the Mavs are, 4, 5, 6. You're kind of sitting pretty, and you're probably penciling in the second round of the playoffs at least. But right now,
yeah, I think that too many things need to go right for them that they don't have control over in order for them to probably feel a little better or for the fans to feel a little better about their chances in the postseason. But the, you know, if you took the regular season a lot more seriously, figured things out earlier, not everything has to go the way you need it to because you've controlled your own destiny. You've gotten a better seed. But no, being this down below, like, they're losing a Timberwolves first round matchup. They're losing a Denver first round matchup. I would only feel relatively comfortable if you could even feel comfortable in a 1-8 matchup against OKC. So if they can, like, you know, I didn't listen to Plus Minus today. I think it came out after my commute. Those bad guys are supposed to do it before my commute.
Oh, was there one today? I didn't see it.
I think they just posted it. But I think they were talking about, like, what possible outcomes for the rest of the season. So I think they have 3 games left. We already mentioned it. LA has 2 games left. So the Warriors would have to win out, go 3-0 in order to get the 9th seed, unless the Lakers drop one of those games. And I think they only need to go 2-1 if that happens, which is probably a more likely scenario for them, especially when it comes to New Orleans.
Lakers are a half a game ahead of the Warriors. They've played one more game. So they only have 2 left. So they basically have to split, and the Warriors have to win only 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
Okay.
It would be really nice. Like, I was actually going to... Okay, so I have the rest of the Kings. Kings have 3 games left as well. They get New Orleans, Phoenix, and Portland. So they're for sure winning that Portland game. New Orleans has had their number all year. And then Phoenix, I don't really know how Sac plays them, to be honest. But
well, here's what Slater wrote today. He said, here's the evolving scenario for the Warriors. They must go 3-0 to generate upward movement. They face the Blazers, Pelicans, and Jazz. If they win all three, they will finish at least ninth ahead of the Lakers after they clinch the tiebreaker on Tuesday. To move higher and into the 7-8 side of the play-in, they need either the Kings to go 1-2 or the Pelicans or Suns to go 0-3 in the final week.
We should look at the Suns schedule because I mean, well,
Suns play the Clippers, the Kings, and the Timberwolves.
Oh my goodness, there is a potential 0-3 for them,
and they've lost their last two games too.
They lost last night against the Clippers, but tonight the Clippers are resting everyone, and the Suns are playing everyone. And I think it was like relative, is like close. Is it, do you know what the score is right now?
I can look it up,
But the Kings, the Clippers
are up by three in the third quarter.
If the Suns lose that, that's like no momentum for them. They might as well go 0-3.
Denver's up three at the end of three against Minnesota. I was watching some of that at the gym. Minnesota was up at halftime.
Yeah, I mean, if the Warriors can swing to avoid, like Denver wins this game, they end up as the first seed. Like if they can avoid the 9-10 side. But again, like it's too much chance and it's too much of things that they don't have control over that needs to go right in order for them to feel a little like better about their chances. And
what would have changed if they beat Dallas last Friday? I think things would be a little easier.
Chance. Yeah.
They could theoretically,
they'd have the same record as Sacramento right now, right?
Yeah, they would theoretically be able to catch the Pelicans, I think, if they did beat the Mavs.
I mean, you can do that for like every single, how many close games have they lost? How many games were up like 15 to enter the third or midway through the third and then they dropped it?
But that was just one of those games where they're like, it's a must win and you have no excuses to play.
But it was on a back-to-back, right?
Yeah,
like it is must win, but I mean, no Luka. Yeah, but Kyrie was going nuts. But
so prediction, what do you think they end up?
I'm just gonna say the ninth. I think the ninth is the easiest.
I think they catch the Lakers.
Yeah, I think they can catch the Lakers. I'd almost prefer them to play the Lakers on the damn road, though. So,
well, okay. So now there's no guarantee Davis is going to be healthy. Like he's got nausea. Sounds like he's got a concussion, but they have not called it.
They
a
haven't
concussion
because I think once you do that, it puts like a actual like, okay, he needs to sit out this amount or something for like concussion protocol.
I think so.
That's what I'd assume.
But if there's no Davis, I'm pretty comfortable that the Warriors win that game. If Davis is there and healthy and LeBron is there and healthy, I'm not sure what changes from last year outside of the fact that it's a one winner take all versus a seven game series.
I think X factor would probably be Kuminga.
Well, it seems like he has the Lakers flu though. Did you see how badly he was last night?
Yeah. And the thing that's annoying is in his rookie year and his second year, he was like so good against the Lakers. But yeah, I mean, he's just someone who wasn't available and that's CP, but
so
yeah,
I don't
feel good about that.
Here's what's interesting is the TJD Draymond lineup should be better against the Lakers than playing small, right? Because you can battle the bigs a little bit better with both of those guys, and it allows Draymond to roam a little bit.
Draymond roam though? Would they put TJD matched up against AD just like from the start in like a super must win game for Draymond to play help defense, or would they match up Draymond on
That's
him?
A good question. Because I don't know what Anthony Davis does play.
He cooked TJD.
He does like to play a little bit outside here and there though. And so that may, I mean, they're probably switching opportunities a lot anyways, but I say that because last year, you remember what they tried to do. they tried to have the four be a stretch four, and it didn't work because
it worked for one game.
For one game. But by doing it this way, you're doing the opposite. You're saying, no, we care more about the paint, and we care more about getting rebounds, and we care more about TJD actually making Anthony Davis active defensively in ways that he just not just there to like wait for guys to come to the rim and block shots, because you got to worry about him as as the lob threat. So it's an interesting thing. And the thing is, and this is why it's kind of crazy, is at least in a six game or at least in a seven game series, you can try something and go, man, that didn't work. Now we can adjust. You have to adjust quarter by quarter in a winner take all.
What's Kerr's record in playing games? I think they've only played two and they lost both of them.
Oh man.
Right. I think they were the eighth seed. They lost. Yeah, they eighth seed. They lost against the Lakers, that booted them down to the 9-10 side of the bracket, and they lost against Memphis. He's 0-2. Oh man, yeah, they really need Phoenix to lose tonight. They need. I think Kings play the Pelicans tomorrow. They need that to lose. Like they play the Blazers tomorrow. Like they need. I don't doubt that they won't win that game. The Blazers are awful. And then they'll get. I'm pretty confident they'll go at least 2-1. But if they want to make their lives easier, they need to go 3-0 as well as other teams doing their own bidding for the Warriors.
Let's see. What do you? So let's go back to Steph. Now I titled this video about Steph and LeBron because I mentioned last time, and you were like, oh man, they play all the time, and then I said, well, there's going to be a point where they don't play each other anymore and we're going to miss these moments. And I do think you're right in a sense in that the second that LeBron came to the West Coast, now they're playing each other regularly during the season, whereas they would play each other on Christmas, they'd play each other one more time, and then they'd play in the finals.
But, I mean, that's still like 6 or 7 games a year against each other. Now it's
it was more meaningful in that way. But yeah. I will admit, watching them on the court together, I do get the sense of like, man, I'm going to miss this when it's over. And who knows how much longer either guy has to play, right? We're thinking Bron maybe has maybe one more 2-year deal in him. Is Steph a free agent after when is Steph a free agent after next year? Maybe.
I think he has 2 more after this.
Okay. So into his year 38 or something. So it's, you know, I think Steph can probably still play, and he's going to be playing off the ball a lot as he ages. But, LeBron and Steph as the elder statesman of the game, we're not going to see that too much more, but we are going to see it more than likely one more time this year. And I love beating LeBron. I just don't have a good sense of this version of the Warriors versus that version of the Lakers with Anthony Davis. Now, again, Davis unhealthy, then
I'd pick the
pretty
Warriors.
Confident. I'd pick the Warriors to win that series or that one game.
The game, yeah. Steph is an unrestricted free agent in 2026, so 2 more years after this season. But, I mean, we might not see LeBron and Steph play against each other, but they're going to play together in the Olympics and then also next season. So that'll be fun.
How are we going to? that actually, the Olympics is going to be really fun for us to cover on this podcast, because this is not like the possibilities of the other countries beating the U.S. are very high. These games are going to be competitive.
I was way more excited when Embiid was not committed to play for USA. And I'm not saying he shouldn't not play for USA. I don't mind him playing for USA.
Who knows if he's even going to be healthy enough to play?
I guess it's a good point. But I was kind of looking forward to him like teaming up with France and having like these two world super teams trying to go at it. Now I feel a lot better about the U.S.'s chances.
But we'll get to the Olympics when we get there. That's going to be a lot of fun. I'm super excited for it. But I was thinking about the playoffs, because the playoffs start next weekend. Obviously, as long as the Warriors are in it, we're going to follow the Warriors very closely. Mm-hmm. But if the Warriors get knocked out, how are we going to cover the games on this show? Your other shows, you're probably paying attention to the whole thing, but I almost feel like maybe we should split up the conferences and just really focus on one conference versus the other. I don't know. I I get the East and you get the West or something, because
this is going to be the first time this podcast doesn't make it to mid-April.
I know. That's my worry. That's why I'm thinking about this. It saddens me, because the first year that we did this was all because they were in the playoffs and then they won the title. Yeah. So, because I would like to cover, now we've talked about the WNBA, following that a little bit more. I think the draft is what? This is it Monday?
It's next Monday. Next Monday.
So the draft is Monday. It'll be the last year before the Bay Area team is in the league. Caitlin Clark is going to go number one. That should be a pretty big deal, I think. I don't, is ESPN covering it? They may be covering it.
Probably.
But yeah, like that whole thing shaking out. So we'll have to cover the NBA playoffs a little bit more deeply if the Warriors get booted early. And then we'll also do a little bit of a WNBA focus, just to kind of prepare ourselves for the next season when the Warriors come in. What did you think about the end of the tournament, by the way?
As I predicted, even though when I made my picks, I hadn't been watching that college season that much, but I watched like 80% of like the damn game. Sure, of course, in the round of 64, I couldn't, you know, watch that many games, but I watched basically every game of USC, UConn, Stanford, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, Notre Dame. Like, I was watching a lot, and about after watching one game, I was like, I'm an idiot for not picking South Carolina to win this thing. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just plain as day, in my opinion, after the very first game. Sure, they had a few closer games leading up to the finals, but I think it was clear that they were going to kill. Iowa had a lot more close games. South Carolina, and it's not like a diss at Caitlin, but Caitlin was just like head and shoulders better than any other player on Iowa. I don't know if any other of those girls are going to the WNBA. South Carolina has like a full roster and a half of WNBA players.
Yeah, what's my favorite player, Gabby Marshall, going to do?
I don't know. She should transfer to like a school that has WNBA talent and see if she can.
Is she done though, or is she still?
Oh, she looked young. I mean, I have no clue. I thought she looked like on the younger side of college, freshman or sophomore. But
let's see. Gabby Marshall. Wait, Gabby Marshall has a Wikipedia page? Let's go. No, I think she's done. She's 23.
Wow.
Yeah, she's done.
Yeah, she's done.
When I started doing my research for the tournament, I was reading an article in The Athletic, and, you know, to your point that it was like Caitlin and then everybody else, one of the coaches, I forget which one, like didn't even know Gabby Marshall's name, just like Pretty Eyes over there. And so now whenever I see Gabby Marshall, I just associate her with Pretty Eyes.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of 5-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
You know, we did our little BSPN and BAM bracket. As it turns out, my buddy Scott E., he won out. He picked everything correctly in the championship, but where he beat the rest of us is in rounds 2 and 3. So in the round of 32 and the round of 16.
Yeah, I looked at like that those results, and I picked the most correct out of anyone in our thing. But I felt like because I didn't pick South Carolina is what killed me at the end.
Oh yeah, if Iowa won, you would have easily won it.
Yeah.
And yeah, you had 30 out of the 32 games in the first round, and then you did very well in the round of 16 as well. But in the championship game, because you picked the wrong winner, you got 0 points. Whereas yeah. Me and Scott E
and RB,
Young Randall and Jonathan Maggot all got 32 because we all picked
out. Yeah, that's a lot of points for the winner. Yeah.
Hey, man, you got to pick the winner. And Obi bringing up the rear. He should have called, you know, LSU. He should have called his bracket. what do you think about the kind of the women's tournament, the final doing 18 some odd million, and then the men's tournament final doing like 14 million? Like the women's tournament was not game by game, because I think if you were just to compare like the regular games, like the first round, second round matchups, the men's tournament was more popular. But when it came to the big games, when it came to Caitlin stuff,
Caitlin Clark, it was
the Caitlin women's Clark, yeah. Yeah, the women's bracket was on fire for TV viewing.
Yeah, I wonder what it would have been if it had been LSU versus Iowa in the finals as opposed to Iowa. I mean, because I know we saw Iowa versus LSU, it did like 12.8, but if it was in the finals, because Angel Reese is a big draw as well. I think she's a bigger draw to the mainstream audience than South Carolina as a team is, even though they went undefeated. So, yeah, I mean, it's the game I wanted to watch. I did not watch Purdue versus UConn. I figured UConn was going to win. I mean, I know some of the names on the teams, but I more so like college sports from a, I think I've said this multiple times on multiple podcasts, but from a scouting perspective, from a prospect perspective, and this NBA draft is supposed to be pretty poo-poo. So I didn't really take interest into the college season. And on the WNBA side, this is like the LeBron Wade Melo draft that we're about to see right now. So on the women's side.
You know, I think people don't really understand the history of the NBA, and they just assume, oh, you know, the NBA was always popular. But if you watched that Showtime series on HBO, part of the allure of the Magic and Larry Bird thing, the Lakers and Celtics thing, is it kind of brought the NBA out of the dark ages. The NBA finals were broadcast on a several hour delay because the networks didn't want to interrupt their, you know, prime time programming, because they would lose viewers if they showed basketball instead of Dynasty or whatever the soap opera was in that slot. And Magic and Larry played in the NCAA finals against each other, so they created that rivalry right there. And then you move it over to the NBA, and then 1984 you get Magic and Larry in the NBA finals, and that helps propel the NBA out of the dark ages. And so, I mean, it's not even that far. Like, you go back to whatever it was, 1982 or 1983, when they broadcast the finals on a delay. And it doesn't seem like that long ago, but, you know, it just seems like the NBA has been here and been on top forever. I think that the WNBA has that opportunity. Not that they're in the doldrums, media is way different, but the ability for them to kind of take advantage of Caitlin Clark and her rise and Angel Reese and these women who became household names, Cardoso from South Carolina, like, she got a lot of shine in that championship game. You're like, man, who's this tall woman who runs the court like so well. Like she stood out in a pretty big way. You know what's going to be next, though? Dawn Staley makes too much money to leave college, but there's going to be a tipping point where the money could be similar. And I think that would be another draw, is you bring these really famous women who are college coaches into the WNBA, and that also helps the marketing of the league. Like, imagine if Dawn Staley is, you know,
Tara from
Tara retired. Did you see that?
I know.
That's crazy, because Tara was coaching Stanford when I was younger. Like, that's how long she's been at that program.
I mean, the only coach that, and I apologize for not knowing more WNBA coaches, but I think the obvious one is Becky Hammon for the Aces. And I think she kind of had that, like, she kind of has that draw being a assistant coach for the Spurs and then obviously a WNBA player. And
yeah, that helps her relationships are in the NBA as well.
I wonder if she'd be like Staley level in college. If she was a college coach. Yeah.
So I'm not calling the WNBA doing the same amount of business as women's college basketball this year, but I do think there's opportunity with Caitlin. There's opportunity with Las Vegas being the bullies of the league right now. And I think they have to figure out how to make sure that these women, the right women, are getting the shine, and the right teams as well. Like, you know, let's figure out how to make Caitlin's first, you know, first WNBA game. Like, that's got to be a big presentation. The first time Caitlin plays Las Vegas, that's got to be a big presentation. And similarly, take advantage of these other women who are going to be in the draft. They may not be of Caitlin Clark caliber of a name, but just based on the idea that they played during this March Madness, which was the biggest March Madness for women's basketball, there's a direct line to, oh yeah, like I remember watching them play. And the WNBA season isn't going to be that much longer until they actually get to play some games. So there's a short time frame, and I think they need to take advantage of it. Like, Angel Reese may not be the top, you know, top two or three players, but from a notoriety standpoint and from like an Instagram standpoint, she's up there. And so you got to figure out how to take advantage of stuff like that too.
Yeah. What's the Big Waz, right? You're I don't think you know where I'm going with this one.
Did he have a take?
Big Waz, like, I don't listen to the Ethan Strauss pod anymore.
I know we both kind of tuned out a little bit.
But they him and Big Waz have, like, I think Big Waz goes onto that show a decent amount. One of the only things that I felt like I truly agreed with them was that the NBA, like, genuinely needed like a white superstar to get more, like, gain back like a ton of popularity, more notoriety for the league. Like, I think we're waiting for Cooper Flagg next year to be like the white superstar and they can get like a ton of coverage because of it. And I say that because I think the WNBA is about to get theirs with Caitlin Clark, and it's a little frustrating, but it makes sense. But it's like, okay, so Caitlin is this generational talent. She takes step back threes, and, you know, we're like kind of giving her all the credit, no blame, and all the success is because of her. And it's cast Angel Reese as a villain and Caitlin as this little like superhero, and it all makes sense. Like, 71% of the population is white, and this is a sport that's been pretty dominated by African Americans. And when you see someone that looks like you, and 71% of the people, you know, look like a person, then they want to watch that and invest in that more. Cause I get it. Like, being, you know, being Mexican, there's not many Mexicans that play in, you know, Japanese as well. Like, remember when we always go to the dinner table, like, oh, Rui Hachimura, like, that's sick. We're having a Japanese guy in the NBA. Oh, Jaime Hawkins Jr. That sounds Hispanic. Like, we're going to root for that guy. So I get it, but it is pretty clear as day to me that it's like, not only is she awesome, but it's because she is white that she is like going nuts. in terms of like the coverage and the eyes that are on it. Because it's frustrating because we had like what, Maya Moore? We've had plenty of generational WNBA talent that probably should have gotten the shine that she's getting. But because, you know, and I'm sure like the time she hit a good wave that was coming to the shore. She was able to ride it well because like not only is she white and is she awesome at basketball, but at the same time, I feel like there was a lot of talent coming up at the same time that she was able to ride the wave with and take over the wave. But yeah, I think that was a little rant that I've said a few times, but
so I think there's a time and place for it. And the right superstar with the right charisma, because if you think about it, who has been the most marketable athlete of all time? It's Michael Jordan, and he's not Caucasian. What Larry Bird did is he hit the Midwest area of the U.S., the central area of the U.S. That's where he lived, and that's where he grew his game. So those folks, which make up a good chunk of people, they were a little bit more invested in the NBA game. They were invested in college, but you know, maybe not so much in the NBA. So Larry enabled a certain number of people who may not have been interested in the NBA get into the NBA. And I think it's why you want a mix. It's why you want a lot of different races involved in your sports, because of what you said. You know, someone who looks like you playing in the league, you're like, wow, like that's really cool. Like there's not a lot of biracial, you know, people. Like anytime, you know, a Filipino player becomes something, or even half Filipino player, like that is, you know, the entire all of my Filipino friends are like, they're in. They're like, oh, that's my guy, for the same reason that you just said. So I think Caitlin is a little bit like the Larry Bird aspect of it, but at the same time, she's got so much more charisma than Larry did kind of coming out of college. Larry never forced it either, which I think made a lot of people like him. Is he was never put on. He was just who he was. And I think that worked for a lot of people. But she's going to have a marketing plan, and she's going to have people around her to help her make sure that she's doing the right things. And so that it's a little bit of a different level when it comes to who she's going to be. But the main thing, and this is where Larry succeeded, she's got to ball out. And if she doesn't, for whatever reason, then it doesn't matter what, you know, what her representation is. She just got to ball out. And I think she will. I don't know if she's going to be
probably not day one, but
yeah, she's not going to be the MVP. And really, like, if you've watched some of the WNBA, and I'm not saying that I've watched a ton of it, but like a lot of the really good players, you're like, man, this is a really good player. And then the team's not great. And it's really, yeah, because it's a team sport, of course. And, you know, watching Las Vegas just dominate the finals last year was pretty impressive. And you're like, okay, they're like clearly the best team. And so now you got to beat Las Vegas. And the Kelsey Plum's going to be mean to you. Just be ready. All right. Not a ton of Warriors stuff for us to talk about tonight, which is why I leaned a little bit into the WNBA stuff, but also because we're going to be talking about it this year. So not saying that this podcast is going to change, but, you know, we are a basketball podcast as well. So we're going to talk about some of the topical things. And I guess my last question to you before we kind of let the Warriors do their thing for the rest of the regular season is, if they get in, if, you know, because that's what they keep saying, we just need to get in, and they play a Denver or a Minnesota, do you expect them to put pressure on those teams, or do you expect them to kind of flay them out? Yeah, or not, or just they're just not as good as those teams, and, you know, Steph is going for 50 and they're still losing, kind of thing.
Yeah, they're not as good as those teams, but I still think there's like a little bit of applied pressure. It's not a fun first round matchup to play against guys who know what they're doing. And
could they win?
They could win a game.
Two?
They could maybe win two against Probably Minnesota. I think Denver will out-savvy them because not only are they better, but they also have playoff experience to match theirs. Not to match theirs, but they have experience. They have championship experience. I think with Minnesota, like, we're just relying, you know, knock on wood, I guess, we're relying on someone to get injured on their side for us to have a chance.
Like, what if Draymond puts Rudy in a chokehold again?
Yeah, Draymond just needs the fake swing at Rudy, not connect, but Rudy feels like he needs to swing and he needs to connect with Draymond, so he gets suspended, but Draymond doesn't because Draymond never connected. No, yep. I mean, we have no shot against these two teams in a 7-game series. I think there is pressure, though. I think the Warriors are better than what their record says. I think they fooled around a lot in these games. And, you know, we look at them as a 10th seed, but you look at their win column. Like, that's a pretty good winning record for a 10th seed. When the Warriors were in their heyday of the 72 or 73, and then the previous year where they won like 60 something, like, what did 44 or 40, potentially 46 to 47 wins get you in 2015? Mm-hmm. A 4 seed? A 3 seed?
Like, well, in the East right now, it would be
a 2 seed or something. Like, it's
no, so Orlando and Indiana are 46 and 34, and they're in the 5 and 6. Philly. Well,
what is Milwaukee? Is Milwaukee 2?
Yeah, 49 wins.
49. How many wins did the Lakers have? 45? 46.
Yeah.
But it's just crazy. Like, the Lakers have 46 wins, and they are 3 wins less than the second seed in the East.
The Lakers have 45. Lakers have 45 wins, Warriors have 44. Okay. Phoenix has 46. And by the way, this is not going to mean anything to anybody who is listening to this on Thursday, but as we are recording, Denver is up 10 with a little over 3.5 minutes left over Minnesota, and the Clippers are up 6 on
Phoenix.
We need
that Clippers game. That's the important one.
Just under 9 minutes. And that's the game that I'm going to throw on when we get out of here.
I almost don't want to throw it on because we haven't thrown it on.
You're going to jinx it?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm gonna give a prediction right here and right now. Warriors, if they get in, if they are the 8th seed, whomever they play, game one, they're stealing the first game at home. And you know why?
Why?
Because they're gonna give us all of this happiness and all of this thought that, you know, maybe this is something special, only so that they could break our hearts, because that's what will happen. And it will end in a Draymond gets kicked out of one of the games, and then they have no chance.
Look, if they are somehow 2-2 four games in, like if it's split, I think I'd only believe it long term if they've won a home game and an away game in the first quarter.
So if they go to if they make the 8th seed, I think we're gonna have to at least go to Chase and watch the game on the big screen.
We have to pick the right one, though. I think we have to think about it a little bit. I wouldn't pick game one.
Well, that one will be in away, though. You want to pick a home game.
Oh, game 3.
Yeah, game 3 or 4. We'll be down the weekend, right?
We'll be down 2-0. And
hey, we still got to support.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. So next week, I'm going to be out of town for a large portion of the week. So if we record, I'm actually looking at the Warriors schedule, and I kind of wonder if we should try to do something maybe to sort of signal the end of the season. So their last games are, oh my God. Thursday, Friday. Okay. Thursday, Friday, Sunday. I was like, they're playing.
Okay. What we should announce on this podcast, which if you know it, say it, when is the first play-in game? Because it's probably the weekend, right? Or is it the early next week?
I think they would want the actual playoffs to start on Sunday. So I think the play-in would have to be done by Sunday. So the play-in tournament will start Tuesday through Thursday, Tuesday through Friday. Tuesday through Friday is the playoff play-in tournament. And then the playoffs start on Saturday.
Tuesday, April 6th, Friday, April 19th. Playoffs start on Saturday?
Mm-hmm. So which maybe
the winner of the play-in won't play until Sunday. They'll at least get the extra day of rest.
Right. So maybe what we do is we don't come back next week at all, and then we try and come back at either on the Sunday evening or on the Monday if we could swing it, because that will be the day before the play-in starts. So we'll figure it out. We'll be back. I'm just out of town visiting my parents in Brian's old stomping grounds of Tucson, Arizona. So that's why I'm out of town. Yeah. But we'll by the time we're back, it'll be
yeah. So really quick,
wait, what now? Okay, I screwed that up. The end of the season. So I'm going to be in Tucson during the play-in.
Yeah,
is what it is. That okay? I screwed
the
plan's up.
Next Tuesday. Wow.
Yes, next Tuesday. I screwed that up. I was thinking it was the following when I was going to be back, but no, it is.
You should bring your mic.
I will. I'll bring.
You should
my mic
bring an then. Extra mic for Grandpa. I have an extra one. I'll give it to you.
Let me think about this. The problem is it's going to have to be USB because we could share it. We could technically share it. So yeah, we'll figure something out. Cause yeah, I don't want to go. And I mean, what if they lose, they don't make the playoffs, then I don't want to go all the way until then and not do a show. So we'll figure something out while I'm away. All right. That is it from here. We'll see you at some point next week. And, I think we're going to try and do a Thompson to Clark late next week when I'm back. And also a We Want Winners. Rod had some medical stuff that he had to get through, which is why we haven't recorded since the last show. So, all right. For Bri, I am Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.